Good morning. Well, let's pray and then we'll get started, okay? Father, we thank you for just another day that we can come together and sing your praises, speak your praises, be grateful for all that you've done for us and all that you are to us. And all that you help us with in our daily lives. We just thank you for allowing us to be called your children and allowing us to cry out to you with our needs and just the things that maybe we struggle with even. We just thank you that we can call out to you and you are our help, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord. And today as we go through your word, we just ask that you to use it to move us forward in our spiritual journeys, that we could be impacting your kingdom according to your will, and Lord, that each of us can just continue to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, as we look into your word and look into our own hearts for places that aren't matching up to who you are and who you want us to be. So we just thank you for your grace toward us. We thank you for your mercy. We certainly don't deserve that, so we just want to today display our gratitude for you with our time and our attention. And so again, we love you and we thank you. Just ask that you bless this word to us today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we left abruptly last week, and our daughter Sierra had a faint spell. She didn't pass out, but she was in driving home from our daughter Hannah's in Vandalia, and she's okay. She just got faint while she was driving, so she pulled over. She had the baby with her, and everything's fine. She went home and slept. Not sure what caused it or anything like that, but anyway. We drove her home, and she's doing good, so thank you for praying for us. And it's encouraging when things happen within the body, you know, just using Becky as an example of just the rally around each other when we need it. So that's encouraging as well. Thank you for praying for Becky and just offering her support, and I guess continue to do that as well. But that's encouraging to see. So today I wanted to start out in Psalm 1, and I had a couple different titles for this, so I was just looking up there to make sure I had the right title on your slides, because I wasn't sure what I even handed to Randy after I got up here. But this is The Way of the Righteous and the Wicked. We're just going to go through Psalm 1 today, and as usual, you could spend hours and hours and hours dissecting this, and it's not going to be hours and hours, but hopefully you see this in the light that you're supposed to see it in today as we present this. Okay, so let me read Psalm 1 to you, and we'll get moving. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. And in his law he meditates day and night. And in his delight, and he puts his, and his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not rise in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Early on in Scripture, from the beginning of man being on the picture, God spoke about how a person could be blessed by obedience and how disobedience leads to a curse or negative judgment, or this idea that we see here in Psalm 1, the very last word is perish. So there's two ways, you know, the way of righteous and the way of the wicked. One leads to a blessing and one leads to perishing. And that's the bottom line. So this psalm kind of goes from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, as we see that unfold. But in Genesis 2, we see God instructing Adam not to eat from the tree, right? And he told him what would happen if he disobeyed. In Genesis 4, we see him instructing Cain, you know, what would happen if he messed with sin. And often we see throughout Scripture the Scriptures comparing two people, two men oftentimes. You know, Cain and Abel is an example, Ishmael and Isaac, Esau and Jacob, David and Saul, Christ and the Antichrist. We see this comparison throughout Scripture, and so we see that again here in Psalm 1 as well. But what we see in those comparisons is two men living two ways with two outcomes, okay? And that's kind of how this boils down. We have two ways of living and two outcomes to the end. So we see that same theme here in Psalm 1. There's men described by the affections of their heart and the outcome of their life choices. Now, God also not only uses men, but he used nations in Scripture, and spelled out the same for the nations. If you go to Leviticus 26, for instance, and Deuteronomy 28, you see this prophetic instruction in Scripture for the nation of Israel. And it was fulfilled as Scripture was recorded, as time passed, as men went along the way they do, that men and nations made choices whether to obey God or plot their own course through life. And I would invite you to go read that, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. It's a recap of blessings and cursings, but we're not going to get into that today. But God has used that that contrast of two men throughout Scripture, and so we see it again in Psalm. But in this particular Psalm, what I wanted you to see today was that there's two men, there's actually three different types going on, okay? And so I'll explain them as we go through Scriptures. Three types of people here revealed in Psalm 1. So the first one is the person who receives a blessing from God. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. The person who receives a blessing from God. Blessing is the reward for obedience, while cursing or judgment or perishing is the word for, or is the reward for disobedience. But the word bless here, it's in the Hebrew is Esher, Esher. Also, you'll see it used as Asher, Asher, who happens to be one of the sons of Israel. But it simply means happiness. Okay, a state of happiness, and that is around who God is, I guess. But in this case, you see the state of blessing or happiness as a result of obedience. So the blessing comes from God. And Aaron mentioned this earlier, that, you know, all the good things come from God. But the person who receives that blessing from God, it's not that they earn that, but God brings this to them, all right? He gives this to them. So, but again, we have a choice whether we want to continue on in obedience, and as a result, a blessing. So it's easy to conclude, though, that we that if we want to be blessed, if we wanted to be counted as blessed, obedience to God is a must if we want to proceed toward that reward. Okay, so how does one become blessed? Well, again, blessing in the terms of salvation is 100% a work of God. Okay, we don't do anything to earn that. So I want to get that off right, and you guys know this. I just want to start out with that. That's a work of God, and we know that. If we have a relationship with God, it is His work. But there is work that we do that keeps us in blessing, if that makes sense. So how does one become blessed by the Word? First of all, we have to be directed by the Word. Okay, so we must be directed by the Word. This is our part in blessing. All right, so when you look at Israel, the nation of Israel, it was unique among nations. It was distinct. It was to be distinct, but it was distinct as well. It was to be distinct because of who their God was to them, who their God is to them, right? And they're still distinct in that regard. A line had been drawn. God drew this line for them, and they were to remain separated. They were to remain distinct to God and for His purposes, okay? And we can see that today in the lives of Christians. We are to remain separate, distinct for God and for His purposes. So to remain in that state, they would have had to avoid being contaminated by the other nations around them, okay? Those around them. And we face the same thing today as Christians. Now, the New Testament follows this same line of teaching. And I'm going to go through this really quick, and I've put some scriptures down for you guys to go through today, but the New Testament teaches this separation, this distinction that we are to be as children of God. In John 17, 11 through 17, he says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. There's a distinction there. There's a line that we don't cross. In James 4, 4, we're to be aware of the world, but if we fall in love with the world, we become an enemy of God. So, but we're to be aware of what's going on in the world. We need to be smart about it. And James 1:27 says we're to remain unspotted from the world. If you can see that line again there. 1 John 2:15 through 17. If we follow the desires of our flesh, we'll end up loving the world. Okay? So there's that warning there. We can end up loving the world if we entertain fleshly desires. Romans 12, 1 and 2, there the lesson, the warning is, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, if you remember that. We mentioned that quite often. So this was a lot of the teaching. 1 Corinthians 11, 32 says, if we don't repent, we will be condemned along with the world. So that's another line that is drawn. And if you go back into Scripture and look at Lot, okay, you remember Lot. When he separated off from Abraham, he chose the beautiful thing, right, the desirable thing, the best thing. In his eyes, which was toward Sodom. So he looked toward Sodom, right? He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he moved into Sodom. And this just kind of goes along with the scriptures that I just shared with you there, that he went the way of the world. He didn't keep himself separate. He stepped over that line, okay? But God still saved him. God still saved him. But in that saving, he lost everything. Okay? He lost everything when God destroyed the city. So the lesson there is that, and this goes along with with Psalm 1, that if we follow the wrong counsel, if we get found walking with the wrong people, right? We follow the wrong counsel, you're going to end up standing with the wrong people, and you're going to end up sitting with the wrong crowd. Okay? And so this distinction is between blessed versus those perishing, godly versus ungodly, righteous versus wicked. The ungodly or wicked are those who are willfully and persistently participating in evil. Okay, we all miss the mark of God's standard, right? But they miss the mark of God's standard and don't care. They don't care about it. And oftentimes that'll be marked with they scoff, they mock, they make light of his law, and they simply delight in evil things. And we probably all know some people like that. But just hang on to that. The second way of how we can become blessed, our part in that, is to be, this is verse 2 of Psalm 1, is be delighted in God's word. To be delighted in God's word. So here we are, we're moving from a negative in verse 1 into a more positive in verse 2. But we see two things happening here that the blessed are doing, right? They are delighting in God's word, and they are meditating on God's word. These two go together. The two go in hand to hand. The delighting and the meditating go hand in hand. Think about it this way. What do you enjoy? What do you enjoy doing? You know, it might be a hobby, might be your work, I don't know. What do you enjoy doing? It's something that's always, the things we enjoy doing, it's something that's always on our mind, okay? It's something we think about. How often do you think about this thing? How often are you thinking about it? It becomes our delight, right? We meditate on the things that we enjoy. We meditate on the things that make us happy. We think about them all the time. If we enjoy or delight in something, we think about that. We contemplate it. We pursue that delight through that meditation, that constant thinking, working through those things in our minds. The Jewish nation were instructed in regard to delighting in God's word, okay? In Joshua chapter 1, let me run there and read it to you. They were instructed here on how to delight in God's word, okay? And this is Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous." See how that mirrors along with Psalm 1. They were meditating. They kept the word of God in their mouth. And so the word meditating here in Psalm means that they muttered it. Okay? They had the word, they memorized the word, right? And they were the word of God would constantly be on their mouth, and they would walk around muttering the word of God, muttering the law. I don't mean that in a negative sense, but they were constantly speaking it. And so their ears could hear it. People around them might be able to hear it, but this was a conversation between them and God, or so it was supposed to be. So this became the delight of, they were delighted in the word, and they were meditating on the word. So this law, the book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth. Now they took that quite literally, and they spoke it, right? They spoke it. So doing the same thing, if we memorize scripture, if we're meditating on it, if we're muttering it, we know in the New Testament that meditation means that we chew on it, right? Like the cow chews its cud, we chew it, we take it in, we chew it, we regurgitate it, and chew on it some more. That's how we ruminate in it, okay? But doing the same thing, if we speak to the Lord about His Word, the Word ends up speaking to us about the Lord, and it becomes our delight. We end up trusting it. We end up using that all day long throughout our day. So it becomes our delight as we meditate on that. This is likened to abiding in the Word. If you look in 1 John 14:24, I'm not going to read this right now, but that we are abiding in the Word, right? We're to remain. That abiding means we remain or we stay in something. And if we're remaining and staying in something, that means we're delighting in it and meditating on the Word of God. That's that remaining, abiding in the Word. So the Word then, the Word then is it has this life-giving quality about it, and it brings us joy and it brings us delight as we do this. Jesus mentioned this during his temptation in Matthew 4:4, and we actually witness him with this muttering, okay, when Satan tempted him. Remember, because he was hungry. And Satan attacked him in his hunger. And he told him, if you're the Son of God, you can command these stones to become bread. Right? And what was Jesus' answer? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That was Jesus delighting in the Word, meditating on the Word. He was muttering that. He would have said that. That's Deuteronomy 3 is what he was quoting. He had the Word in him, he delighted in it, and he used it in his time of need. And he wasn't about to abuse his power either here, but we see him using that delight for that time of temptation. Okay? In Psalm 119, there's several ways that we display our delight, right, in the Word of God as blessed ones. Blessed ones should prefer God's Word over other things, just like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. That only happens because we delight in that Word more than other things. Well, food is one thing that we battle against delighting in over the Word of God, but it can become our very nourishment for our spiritual man, okay? But in Psalm 119, I'll let you go read this for yourself, but blessed ones, there's the prescription here. Blessed ones should prefer God's Word to more than not just food, but sleep, wealth, and people, friends and family in a nutshell, okay? So those are some things that it means, I think, takes on the meaning of being delighted in his Word. I was reading a commentary, and this was Warren Wiersbe, and it made me look at John 1 in a completely different light. Because we see this as truth, right? John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We use that as a truth to say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So that when we take the Scripture, this is the Word of God to us. Jesus is the Word of God to us, and that so that when we intake this, we're taking in essence Jesus. Okay, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten One from the Father, and full of grace and truth. Okay, so we know that as a truth. But when you think about delighting in the Word of God, and we really believe John 1:14, then if that's true, and we delight in that,
then the way we treat Scripture, the way we either delight in it or neglect it, is the way we treat Jesus Christ. And that might seem harsh, but His Word, this Bible, is His Word to us. Okay? And so the way we treat this is the way we, in essence, treat Christ. So do we just, you know, throw it on the coffee table and forget about it? Or do we, oftentimes this is tucked down in my backpack, right? And sometimes I'm stuffing Jesus down in and putting other things on top of it because of the busyness of my day. Do you see what I mean? It's not necessarily always the priority to have Jesus for me at the top of my list. I'm not delighting in him in those moments. And I kind of learned that lesson this week through just whatever, going through stuff and finding myself in a pinch, in a hard spot in my head. And I popped on a podcast from Brad and Vicky Bigney, and it was all a marriage, not even related to this stuff, the lesson today. But what they talked about over and over and over through their marriage was gratitude for the Word of God and how they delighted in the Word of God. The Word of God every single day directed them on how to love each other, care for the family, care for others around them. But it took them a while before that became a practice. Delight for them, delighting in the Word, was a practice. It was a discipline. And so that just really rang true with me when I listened to them, and I'm reading that statement from Warren Wiersbe. The way we handle the Bible is the way we treat Jesus. That was just really telling and for me. Anyway, the second person that we see in the scripture, Psalm 1, is the person who is a blessing. And that's the little nuance here. You know, the first one was the person who is blessed by God, but this is the person who is a blessing. I'll follow along here. I'll cheat and read it off my front page. This is verse 3. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in a season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. If you go to Genesis 2, I'll go read that quick. I'm sorry, 12. 12:2. I've already been to Genesis 2. This is God talking to Abraham. I'll read one with it. And he says, Yahweh said to Abraham, go forth from your land and from your kin and from your father's house to the land which I shall show you. So we all know that Abraham acted in faith, acted in obedience, and he went and did that. Okay? He left his homeland, and he went to the place where God would show him. And in verse 2, he said, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. The blessing comes from God. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Okay? So here we see a person who is a blessing because they are blessed by God. You follow that? To Abraham, that faithfulness, it was faithful obedience that's how he was blessed. And he became a blessing to all the families of the earth. And because he was blessed, the expectation now was that he would be a blessing to others. And here's where we get tripped up. If Abraham had just ran off into that land and took the blessing and kept it for himself, what is he doing? He just selfishly takes the blessing and keeps it for himself. The rest of the families of the world wouldn't have been blessed. He's actually then negating the giver, the one who blessed him originally, right? And he's hoarding that blessing for himself. We today can call that idolatry. When we take something that God has gifted us with, when we take something from creation that's beautiful and we put it above God himself, and we lack gratitude, and we take that and we put it above God. We take that blessing and we don't use it for what it was intended for. It can become an idol, and becomes more important than the one who gave it. So the blessing within the blessing here is that that blessing can be used to bless other people. Okay, Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Right? That's we see that in Acts. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Receiving, when we receive from the Lord that incredible gift, which is our blessing, the most incredible gift is our salvation. Right? He's given us mercy. He's shown us grace. To keep that to oneself can become sin. We can idolize that and we just hoard it to ourselves and we don't share that, right? But it must be given away. When we receive a blessing, when we come up today, we will give from our abundance into the benevolence fund, right? Because we have been blessed. And so we use that to become a blessing to somebody else. So going back to verse 3 here in chapter 1, Psalms, the blessed one is likened to a tree planted by a stream, okay? The tree planted by the stream. And when you think about that, when you look at the words, how that's described, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. The word planted here means, this is the work of God again. The word planted here actually means transplanted. Okay? When we plant something somewhere, we transplant a tree or even a seed, right? We take a seed from something and we go put it somewhere. We're actually transplanting that. Okay? And when you think about that in the context of your relationship with God, God took us out of the world and planted us into his family. Okay? He transplanted us from something that was dead and put us into his family. So that word transplanted, or that word planted here, means transplanted. So someone intentionally planned for the tree in this instance to be placed by that stream so that it could thrive and produce. Okay? So the blessing was in the transplanting. All right, in order to fulfill purposes. So, like that tree that was transplanted to thrive and to give fruit, each sinner chosen by God to be adopted into his family is transplanted into an environment in order that he or she can thrive and bear fruit. By delighting in and meditating on God's word, the believer can become beautiful, fruitful, useful, and a blessing to others. But all that takes being transplanted by God and rooted in Christ. We know that the Holy Spirit waters us, right? And the Word washes us. And here we see again that picture of the believer remaining or abiding in Christ, where there's life, where there's growth, where there's fruit bearing going on. And so when you think about fruit, sometimes we get confused about fruit of that believer. But in the terms of a believer, what fruit is, and again, we can be selfish with this. We can keep it to ourselves. We can get arrogant and prideful about this fruit. That fruit is godly character. It didn't come from us. Again, it came from God. Generosity, something that comes from God because he first loved us, we can be generous with the love that he's first loved us with. Okay? Service, good works, gratitude, right? We can be grateful to God because of all that he's done for us. Praise, right? Psalms means praise. Praise God. And then finally, another fruit is that we bear is, that we should bear is winning the lost, okay? Winning the lost. So if we've been transplanted by a living stream, right, we're nourished, we're growing, we become strong, we're rooted, and we bear fruit, what is the fruit for? What does the tree do with the fruit? If we liken ourselves to a tree planted by a stream, right? What is the fruit for? Does the tree eat the fruit? The fruit isn't intended for the tree. The fruit is intended to bless someone else, to bless whoever comes in contact with that fruit. Okay? That's the idea of the fruit, whether it's godly character, generosity, service, or sharing the gospel. It's intended to bless someone else. Okay? So the fruit isn't for the tree. The fruit is for the benefit of others. Okay? Namely, number one, it brings glory to God. Okay? It brings glory to God. But the fruit isn't just for just to adorn the tree. It's not meant to just hang there, but it's meant to be picked and used and enjoyed, and that fruit. You know the definition of fruit, by the way? That's why we call a tomato a fruit rather than a vegetable. Did you guys know this? A fruit bears the seed of its own kind within itself. Okay? That's why a tomato is a fruit and not a vegetable, okay? A vegetable is something that is like a root. But it bears within itself the seed of its own kind. So in that regard, as we grow as Christians and we bear fruit, the seed for that new life, that seed for salvation, can be taken from the believer, okay? It's there, it's available. It's for other people to see, okay? First of all, it's to glorify God for his goodness, but it's also for the betterment of other people. It's for their benefit, all right? I'm going to strike this line because we don't need that. That's just a good side note for our story. Or for our scripture. Thirdly, the last person identified in the scripture is 4-6. This is the person who needs a blessing from God. Okay? This is the person who needs the blessing for God. So the first this half of this chapter here focuses on the wicked or the ungodly. And again, this person is in desperate need. Desperate need. They need to receive God's blessing in Christ Jesus. Right? They need to receive salvation. So here, this is probably a little bit hard to hear all the time or even to think about. But this is our life as Christians. We're either blessed or we have two ways to go, right? We're either blessed or we're perishing. Okay? We're either blessed by God or we're perishing because we rejected him. So here we see this contrast, like the tree growing and thriving versus the chaff. Okay? So the wicked here are likened to chaff,
And chaff is what falls off of grain, right? Chaff is the things that it can be, and it's likened to the sinner. It's dead, right? It's rootless, has no life. It's blown around, and it's destined to perish, okay? And so when you read through Scripture and you're seeing these contrasts like this, the fact of the matter, it seems very harsh, but in that present state, that chaff is worth nothing. The chaff is worth nothing. And so when you think about, and this is the thing, when we're working in gratitude, we have to see that. We have to see that and want something different for that thing that is perishing. Okay, if we see that chaff is worth nothing, it's a waste product, right? Physically in our world, chaff is a waste product. Like, think about when Charlie goes and harvests wheat. Look at wheat. When he goes and harvests wheat, that machine is winnowing, right? There's air, there's blowers, but the chaff gets thrown out the back, right, and thrown on the ground, and it's separated out. Okay, it's separated out so that the grain, the fruit, the stuff that can bear, it has the seed, is separated out from what is destined to perish. John the Baptist used that imagery in Matthew 3 when he went after the Pharisees, right? He told them that their deeds were going to burn, right? They were going to burn up like chaff. Jesus used this in when he likened the trash dump in Jerusalem, called it Gehenna. He likened it to hell, right? That's where the waste went. That's where the useless things went. The things that were dead. Yeah. So I bring this up because this person in need of a blessing, as those who have been blessed and have the opportunity to be that blessing, we have to continue to seek to reach those who need that blessing with the gospel message, okay? Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And the word here says that but they are like chaff with wind drives away. You know, Charlie doesn't, here's the thing, without Christ, people perish, right? People perish. Charlie doesn't take a wagon load of chaff to the granary. They won't take it. Why? Because it has no value, right? It has no value. And that's hard to hear. That's hard to hear. So how do you reckon this? It's because they're without the blessing of God, okay? When we reckon this to Christians and or to people, it's because they are without the blessing of God, and we are the fruit bearers, right, that can from which that life can spring from. And so we have to be ready to share the gospel. But again, if we're not looking at it this way, that judgment's coming, and then the scripture here, when it likens them to chaff, the wicked will not rise in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Okay? The ways of the wicked will perish. There is opportunity for these people to receive the same blessing that we have, and we have to be in that fight. Okay, we have to be using our blessing to be that blessing for others. So Jesus knows the righteous, right? And in the last day, you know, we are to be his ambassadors of his gospel. But he says it here in Matthew 7 that on that last day, he's going to divide again. He's going to divide.
And some people who think they're okay, right? They think they've done well according to the world standards, because they say, I'm a good person. I did these good things. I did this. I did that. But the blessing of salvation comes from God alone, not from our deeds, right? Not from our deeds. Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that's a division that I don't want to see people on, right? And so, because of salvation, because I can recognize grace and mercy, as Catholic said earlier, that's something to be grateful for. That's also something that we want to work toward with people that are on the outside, okay? The outside of faith. So just keep that in mind, that we've been blessed in verse 3 there, because we have been planted, transplanted, we have the opportunity to bless others, okay? And so we have to stay in that fight. We have to stay in that mindset, okay? Fortunately for those who believe, we have that eternal relationship with Christ, you know, eternal communion, right? We celebrate communion today, you know, on the first Sunday of the month. We always observe communion, but this is a blessing for us. This is a way that we remember the goodness of the Lord to us, right? How he imparted to us his righteousness, how he blessed us with new life, how he transplanted us in that by that stream of living water, okay, and allowed us to bear fruit so that others could have life in him as well, and to become a blessing and to glorify God. So with that, I just wanted to encourage you guys to stay in that fight. John has graciously put together this prayer list for our upcoming outreach to children, and we want to be praying for that. Folks, I know that chaff thing is hard to hear, and we don't ever want to look at someone like they're nothing. But the reality is that many people are perishing around us. Many people are perishing around us, and we have the fruit that has been hung on us that can change their eternity, okay? So just be in prayer about that, you know? Because on that day of judgment, that chaff will be burned up, right? And that'll be the end, and we won't be able to offer that fruit anymore. We won't be able to offer salvation anymore. That day will be over with. So again, I'm not meaning that to be a bummer. I just wanted to bring that to our awareness. We've received a great blessing from God, and we also have that same responsibility to be blessing others with it. And so we're surrounded by him. Some will accept, some won't. Some will take it, some won't. That's just the facts. But our job is to bear that fruit and continually to offer it, okay? Let's get ready to, you guys ready to serve communion, Randy and Gary? This morning we'll come up and we'll serve.